Previously on Adventures in Babysitting. Who knew, like, orgies could be so complicated? And I'm talking about, like, figuring out parking and figuring out my COVID test, things like that. And that's all of, you know, not to say nothing of the actually getting in the right headspace where I can go and engage in sexual activities with multiple men at once. Hello, and welcome to Adventures in Babysitting, chronicling the highs and lows of coming out of the closet and having your first baby at the age of 40. Past the lube and diaper cream, things are about to get filthy. My name is Documenta Barbarism, portrait of a serial killer.
And my name is Shannon Quarter, and I'm gonna get me a whole bunch of boys.
A whole bunch of boys. Oh, and Ryan King, bless. You, what were you saying about speaking of lists?
Oh, no, I was saying speaking of listening to the Sweeney Todd, the second half or the end of Sweeney Todd in someone's basement, I thought we should come up with the pseudonym for that person. So I had a little list of potential pseudonyms. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yes. Hit me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I got Klaus Nomi, Fraser Crane.
Okay.
Sam Eagle.
Okay. That's the best ones yet.
It's probably the most appropriate. Victor Garber. And the Rum Tum Tugger. That one's mostly
let's
funny.
Go Sam Eagle for now.
Okay. We also could go with Robert Sean Leonard, but I felt like that was too on the nose.
Oh, no. It's Robert Sean Leonard, definitely.
Is it?
Yes. Three names are always funnier than
Robert
two.
Sean Leonard slash. Okay. I'm going to say Robert Sean Leonard, but I'm going to imagine Sam Eagle. Okay.
Okay, that's great. You do what you have to do. Ironically, they both have similar haircuts to this person.
It's really... But also, for me, it's 100% the eyebrows.
Yeah. And I can also see this person acting like both individuals, depending on their sincerity.
You know, it's funny. It's
but
like
also like how tired they are.
How sick and tired they are of everyone being. You are all weirdos. What's funny is like I promised him I'd come up with a pseudonym so that he wouldn't be embarrassed.
Oh,
we just made it.
Whoops!
So much work.
You forgot that I was involved in the exchange. I'm sure he's expecting it.
I'm so sorry, buddy. I know. He just thinks this is my baby I'm talking about, not Robert Sean Leonard slash Sam Eagle. He thinks I'm an asshole because I'm just sitting here and talking, but not to him.
I know. He does get FOMO, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's okay. Oh, see, now he's saying mama,
well, mama. Well, it's been so long since you and I have even spoken.
Yeah.
That I'm trying to remember. The baby is, what's the baby's name?
Oh, F. Murray Abraham. This is maybe a good way.
F. Murray Abraham, right.
If you're new to Adventures in Babysitting, my husband is Dr. Exactly. Ian Malcolm. Our mutual friend from high school is Robert Sean Leonard slash Sam Eagle, and my baby is F. Murray Abraham to protect his identity.
Yeah, all three names. Hello.
Yes, you're right. It is funnier.
But did you have a story about Robert Sean Leonard? How did he come up?
Oh well, it was just another stupid joke about Cosette I couldn't remember. We used to always joke about this one line from the first Mission Impossible movie. And then my husband out of the blue was like, Kittredge, you've never seen me very upset.
Oh, that's such a Robert Sean Leonard line.
Yes. And then I just looked at him and I was like, does everyone quote that line? And he's like, I don't know. It's like the thing that happens right before the thing blows up, or I don't know. I'm probably misquoting him. I don't remember what happened after that, because in my head, I just went straight to Kittredge, you've never seen me marry Cosette.
And for the, was that a real one that you guys came up with?
Yes, but I have no idea why. I don't remember what the joke was. I mean, like, it's not even a joke. It's just,
it's like a play on words.
Is it though? It barely is. It's upset and Cosette, I guess. But it was just funny because it was one of those things I'd never.
Well, and very and Mary.
Okay, yeah, you're right. What was the word when we were joking about? You said that's a really tight rhyme. There was a word that you used that I had never heard before.
Like an identity?
No, like a certain kind of, like there's slant rhyme and then there's like true rhyme. And you were like, ooh, that something is really tight. I mean, you talk about tight things a lot, but.
I don't remember.
I figured it was something from your degree in smelling room farts.
I edit the episodes, put them on the internet, and then promptly erase them from my brain.
Yeah, I've had a couple people that I've talked to about certain things, and which is always so flattering when someone listens to the episode. And if people are listening to this and not telling me, please tell me when you listen. Otherwise, I just assume that I was going to say that it's only my mom listening, but I hope my mom is not listening.
God, please no. I hope not.
You're still overdue for that long sit down with my dad.
Oh, I want that. I need it. I missed out on ever meeting Sondheim in person, so now I need to get the Shannon's dad sit down at the very least.
Very close second. Very similar.
Yeah.
Very similar.
Wait, so would Robert Sean Leonard's mom just let you two hang out in their basement?
No, you know what? This was, well, yeah, a couple of times. Were you not allowed to?
That's it.
She was on to you.
No, I yeah, I shouldn't have been, probably. But yeah, no, just it seemed like, I mean, they weren't his parents.
You know what? It
super.
It wasn't
strict,
there. I know that I've been in the basement before, but this, you know what? When I said basement, I was thinking of the sunken living room. Wasn't there like a couple steps down
the
into
extension,
the living room?
The addition, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that's definitely the way that we'll keep listeners, is by describing the architecture of our old high school friends' parents' houses. Next week's episode will be completely devoted to the atrium in our other friend's house.
The one with the real tree?
Yeah. Well, the multiple trees. That was cool. Yeah, that was cool.
There were multiple trees?
Wasn't there?
Probably. You would remember better than I.
I think so.
Well, we'll stay tuned. Find out on the next episode.
Yeah, I guess so.
So how are things going? Our listeners haven't heard from you for a month.
Yes, apologies. I couldn't be here for the last one. I had some stuff going on. You know what?
Has there been any fallout from your coming out?
No, you know what? I've been going back and forth on posting it on social media. And the only reason I don't want to is because, if someone else, well, it depends on who it was. If certain people did that, I would be like, oh, they're just doing that for the attention. But you know what? I probably wouldn't. I just always judge myself more harshly, but I do judge other people. Like I usually say, like, people are like, would you judge someone else if they did that? And I'm like, yeah, I would. But
well, you're only human.
Yeah. But I, because I keep thinking, like, well, do, you know, people I went to high school with or whatever, people I went to grade school with, does everybody need to know my sexual identity? But the part of the point of coming out was to normalize it, and to, because I was so surprised how many women I talked to who identified as bisexual who were married to men. And seeing as how I didn't figure out
that I was bisexual for a long time. And part of the reason was like, I just didn't really know it was an option kind of, or I just thought it was like this thing that certain weird people were at times. Then I mean,
you're
like,
not wrong. There are many weird guys.
I do want to talk about it and stuff. So I think that's the place to start. But I thought about like, should I write something funny or whatever? But I think I'm just going to like be like, hey, guess what? I'm bi. And I noticed that there's a Facebook background that is like unintentionally the bisexual flag. That's like, but I don't, or maybe it is intentional. I'm not sure. How much can you hear that? It's okay, honey. Can you hear that
just
a lot?
Just enough to be cute.
Okay.
No.
He says it's cute. Oh, I wouldn't worry about the copyright. We're not making money off of the Fisher Price song. Or are we? Come for the Fisher Price song, stay for the anal penetration story.
Well, possibly. That depends on how tonight's conversation goes.
Oh, there is one random thing I want to talk about, and I don't know really where to insert it. Ha ha. In our conversation. Oh, well, we are still talking about coming out. The other thing is I talked to my sister, and I wanted to talk to her like on FaceTime or something, but she was about to go out of town for Thanksgiving. And so I like called her while she was driving home from work or something like that, so I could tell her real quick. And she was just like, yeah, okay, whatever. But it took like halfway through the phone call for me to finally be like, hey, so just so you know, I'm bisexual, not a big deal, but you know, just so you know. I can't remember what the verdict was, if she thought my mom had also told my dad ahead of time. I was just so relieved to have like gotten it out there. And again, I was like, why am I telling her this? And it all came back to, I want to be able to talk about it publicly, and I didn't want them to hear about it like second or third hand. It was sort of a management of expectations kind of thing, where when I told everybody I had ADD, I just thought they would all be like, oh, that's cool. I'm going to research that and find out what it means. And that explains so much about you. And we, you know, oh, we all thought you were really disorganized and lazy, but now we know better or something. But it was more like, what? Are you sure? Because like, just no one knows what it is unless they have it, it seems like. And then with this, I was like very, I have to tell you guys something. And I was assuming that they would be weird about it. And so I think because that they knew that I was worried about that, because it was very apparent, then I don't know how they really feel, but they all made an effort to act flazé-da about it.
All right. Well, we have got to finally have this conversation that we have been teasing for literal weeks now.
Right. Well, I've had this conversation
/ avoiding
several times in my head.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Hello.
So it's funny because you started doing the previously on, and I was thinking for this one, it would just, the intro would be like, previously on Adventures in Gaybysitting. So then I took his cock and I
you thought I was going to put in as much explicit sexual stuff as I could
in the first 30 seconds. Do you want to set this up, or do you want me to? Or
oh no, you brought it up.
Okay.
You, this is your deal. So you take it away.
A couple of episodes ago, we discussed what really happens inside of, I want to say bathhouses, but that's going to be an upcoming episode, I'm sure. Inside of like
adult bookstores,
yes. And I still think it's hilarious that I thought people just went in there to just watch porn. I don't know. I guess I knew that there was like theaters where people just went in and like jacked off.
Well, they didn't just jack off.
Well, but there are, well, that's what like happened to Pee Wee Herman or something. Like Anyway, so
we don't need to talk about that. But there's a lot more going on in the theaters as well.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Well, it's funny because after we had that conversation, I was like, what really happened with Pee-wee Herman? Was I... But anyway, but that was apparently a solo act. But I don't know. We can research that later.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was a little bit shocked, and we discussed, I brought up later that I wasn't sure if it was appropriate that we talk that explicitly on the same podcast as we were talking about like parenting things and stuff. And, I have thought about this a lot, and, I feel like this podcast, we probably both had different ideas coming into it of what we wanted it to be, but what I feel like it's kind of turned into and what it is at its best is basically just a snapshot of like two old friends talking about, emphasis on old, just talking about shit. And we have it branded a certain way, but it's just what you and I would talk about if we were just to talk for, you know, an hour and a half every other week anyway. And it's not like a mommy blog, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like I'm like, hey, I found today that if you put pom-poms into a muffin tin, it will, you know, the neurodevelopment of the child, you know, it's not like that. It's more about us being parents and it was about you being gay, but now it's also about me being bisexual. So it's about both of us being queer parents. It's just that you were more queer or no, wait, you're Dingle Mary said you're half bi.
Yeah, exactly. Bless him.
Yeah. But anyway, but it did. So I did want to unpack why I felt weird in the first place. And I was asking myself, like, is it internalized homophobia? Is it weird to have my child yelling in the background? Like, you can hear him now while we're talking about cock. And like, I think what it came down to is it, I felt like I was like at a stand-up show and like I was getting like friends from work to come, and then I had to be like, oh, I'm sorry about the guy that was talking about cock. and then being like, no, it was great. It was fine. Like, I think that I have a hang up about worrying what people think about me. And I think that ultimately what really matters is that we get the audience that we want. And I think that the podcasts that I like to listen to are the ones where you feel like it's just two friends talking and sharing things that they would only share with each other, but it just so happens they're being recorded and then, you know, tens, if not 20s of people will listen to them later.
For now. Yeah.
So anyway, where I came to is I really love that I feel like I can talk about anything. And in fact, I believe that this podcast is part of what made me want to come out, because you talking about your sexuality, I felt weird not talking about mine, you know? And So I feel like it made me tear away just a little bit of the shield that I put up around myself. And so I feel like I really want this to be what it wants to be, you know, and let it sort of evolve. And I definitely want you to feel like you can say what you want to say. I think my bottom line is managing expectations. So if people are thinking like, oh, it's going to be like, oh, it's about gay babysitting. It's like about kids and funny stories about kids. I just want them to know like what they're getting into, which is why I think maybe on certain episodes, maybe we should put like an explicit warning at the beginning verbally. And the reason I say that is because there's a difference between, I think, being like, hey, we're going to say fuck, and being like, and then he put his cock in my mouth while I had my cock in the other guy's mouth or whatever. And just like, I want to have a safe space to be able to talk about that stuff. But also, and I think like 9 out of 10 times when you put that at the beginning, people are like, oh yeah, I'm in. I'm totally in. But then they're at least like, I'm cool. I'm cool with this. Like, I was going to tell you a story about a stand-up comedian, but I can't remember his name now. And so I'll tell it later. But so cut this part out. Sorry. So anyway, that's what I would like. And I don't think that we have to do it necessarily on every episode, but I just, there's podcasts that I have listened to that are really explicit about sex and sexuality and sexual acts. And I think that it sets up a space where people can speak more freely. And I think that it's good for people to kind of know what to expect. Again, it's, I think again of like, if I were producing a stand-up show, how I would put different comedians together and how I would brand certain things and how like the early show might be different from the late show. Like I want people to know, like, this is the late show. We're expecting you to be drunk already. And like, we're going to talk about some shit or something. Yeah, that's where I'm at with things. Where are you at with things?
Well, okay, that helps. That clarifies somewhat. Have you gotten negative reactions already?
No, you know what? That's sort of what made me change my stance is that I have mostly gotten positive reactions. There are gay friends of mine that listened to this that said it made them feel like they could talk to me about stuff that they haven't talked to me about before.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also I had a female friend who loved the whole thing and actually wanted me to ask you questions about it, but we can do that later. Mostly I think she wanted me to give her a pseudonym as well. So everybody wants to have a pseudonym.
How would she feel about the Noid?
I think she would love it.
Okay.
I was going to call her Olivia Newton-John because it was another three name thing.
Who is this? Who are you talking about?
You don't know her. You might have met her at my wedding briefly.
Oh, okay. That's fine then.
It's from a different circle. Yeah.
She can't have the Noid.
Okay. I'm going to stick with Olivia Newton-John because I think that she would like that. But anyway, she was really fascinated and, you know, enjoyed the peek behind the curtain because it's a world she's not familiar with. And she really liked the sort of, wanted to know more about the kind of awkward protocols and things.
I gotta admit, when you texted me that, I was very upset.
Mm-hmm.
I felt very bad, and I'll explain why. So this, I think you're right that it is a matter of different expectations of the show. Because partly I was surprised because as I was conceptualizing the show, I mean, it's been more than a year since we've been talking about it.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. And the whole idea, the selling point was that I'm a dad, so I can give you parenting advice, and you're a hoe, so you can give me sex advice.
Right.
And you even mentioned like you could teach me how to like give a good blowjob, which right. I have still been looking forward to that segment because I still need tutoring on that.
Right. But I have been so scared to talk about that.
Right. So it's mostly been just I've had to adjust my expectations because it was not – because I realized that we were looking at it differently.
Right.
And I like what you said about how there is what we conceptualize the show as and what it's turned into and what it is evolving into.
Yes.
And those are perhaps two separate things. And I understand the bit about managing expectations. And I'm also going to try to not be too morose or whiny about this because if anyone's listened to Closet Practice – from last week where I talk about the failed orgy. I got plenty morose on that. And if you haven't listened to it, go back and check it out. It's called The Orgy That Wasn't.
I definitely need to listen to that.
Oh yeah, we have, I haven't even mentioned it yet, have I?
No.
On the last Adventures in Gaby Sitting, when you couldn't join me, I just did a solo and I talked about how I was going to an orgy and I was so excited and nervous about it. And then the orgy, I went and I was there for a while, quite a while, and it didn't happen. And you can listen to the episode and find out why.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
So I did a postmortem with the two guys who planned it, and they actually got pretty emotional, like for a couple of us.
Wow.
So it was really interesting. Yeah.
See, that sounds amazing.
And this other guy was like, you guys, it's an orgy, but you're talking about it like it was a funeral. And I was like, well, welcome to the inside of my head.
Oh, the good old orgy funeral.
Yeah. Sounds fucking great. In fact, I think we're going to mandate that my funeral be an orgy. That'll show me who my true friends are.
If you really love me.
Won't show me. Yeah. So I will try not to be too morose about it, but mm-hmm. I am in sort of an emotional headspace lately anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll try not to be too faggy about it, but.
Okay.
What this podcast represents for me, represented,
mm-hmm.
was a chance to be not just open about the things that I had been closeted, that I had bracketed off in my life before, but to be loud about it.
Yeah.
Like a megaphone to talk about these things. And one of the things that is most important about queerness to me is that I'm not one of those love is love is love is love is love queers.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like love. Love is great. I would like some love in my life. But for me, the important thing to know about queerness is not that it's about love. For me, it's sex is sex is sex
is sex.
Because that seems to me to be the more radical site, the more, you know, the place where you can really, I mean, this is wildly oversimplified, but for me,
mm-hmm.
love is love is assimilationist and sex mm-hmm. is sex is radical. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's a lot more complicated than that. And there are many ways in which, anyway, I won't get into it. But the point being that, so this is one of the things I've been looking forward to, mm-hmm. and it has also made me really nervous, is speaking openly about these things. Partly because anytime I talk about a sexual experience I've had, I'm going to end up looking stupid because I am a sexual klutz.
Uh-huh.
So it really, I'm really like, you know, the things that I talk about, especially, you know, if you listen to the orgy that wasn't, like,
mm-hmm.
it's really embarrassing. And I think there are a lot of people who would not put themselves out like that.
Yeah.
If that sounds like a humble brag, I don't mean for it to be humble. It's supposed to be a brag. I'm fucking proud of myself for being able to put myself out in this very specific and explicit way, because I almost always end up looking dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important for me, you know, it's a way of reorienting myself in relation to the world, of maybe making up for lost time, all of those things. So when then you came to me and said, can we put this limit on what we talk about, the way we talk about
mm-hmm,
it,
mm-hmm.
that really just knocked the air out of me, because
yeah.
speaking, not to use the overused term of safe space,
because
mm-hmm. it's not so much a safe space, but this is literally a space and a project that I created, that I brought into the world, because for so long, I felt like there wasn't a space like that. You know, I felt, for whatever reason, I felt like I had to completely close all this off. So now I'm like, okay, well, here's my megaphone I'm picking up. And then it's like, well, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why.
Well, I also want.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't want to. Okay. I just want to clarify. I never had problems with talking about that stuff. I just was worried about the way that it looked to talk about my kid and then talk about that stuff. And there's a little bit more to that too, if we have time, that I can talk about, but I want you to be able to.
No, I actually would love to talk about that, because that's the part that doesn't make sense to me, because I'm not. Because I just don't get it. I don't understand. Like, do you think that, are you worried that people think it's like a pedophilia podcast or something?
I don't think that people would actually think that, but I worried about that myself. So this is something that I had trouble. This is me being very, very vulnerable. This is something I had trouble bringing up even to my therapist. When my son was first born, I had this weird, persistent fear that I was going to find out that I was a pedophile. And I know that sounds ridiculous because I've never been a pedophile before. So, like, why would I suddenly be one? And the only thing I can compare it to is, I don't know if you've ever listened to Maria Bamford's comedy, but she talks about her obsessive compulsive disorder and how she'll ruminate on things like, what if I'm secretly genocidal? And she's like, what if I'm just walking down the street and I just have the urge to genocide? Like, obviously, Maria Bamford is, like, not genocidal. Her. Yeah, I know. I love her, too. She's wonderful. And I love comedians and writers like that. Like, I love David Sedaris so much because he is so open about even the ugliest parts of himself. And I try to do that as a writer. And then there's certain times where I'll get kind of slapped back by it. Like, I wrote this thing once when I was preparing for my wedding. I wrote this jokey thing that was like, how to get the gifts that you most want from people. And then someone was like, or you could just get gifts and be thankful or something. And, like, obviously that person is an idiot that does not get jokes, but I obsessed about it because I hate feeling misunderstood, and I really, really think there's power in honesty because that's what connects with people. And that's what makes people feel free, is to find out when other people feel the same way about something. And so that is why I feel so horrible for yucking your yum. I hate that saying so much.
Well, you should feel horrible now.
I don't want anybody to feel like I'm not letting them be their complete self, especially someone that I love like you. But see, I can't even say it without going, aw. It would have been so much more powerful if I just see. Anyway, just so said it. Yeah. Okay. So back to me being a pedophile. So I brought this up with my therapist, and this is one of those things where
can I take that clip out and just use as a soundbite
to
throw it into episodes all the time?
Yes, please.
I've been waiting for a clip like that to come along.
Take out of context. Yes.
Yeah. Just, I'm going to drop that into
my
every
greatest
episode.
Fears. Well, if you remember, in our first episode, one of the first things I made was a joke about being attracted to all the Lokis. And first of all, I was like, oh shit, I just outed myself as bisexual because I was trying to say I'm attracted to both the male and the female one. But then I was like, oh God, now it sounds like I'm attracted to the kid Loki. And I asked you, can you take out the part where I joke about being a pedophile? When I talked to my therapist, she kind of smiled. Like, not in an indulging way, but like, okay, I knew this was coming or something. And I was sort of like, what? And she said, it's something that a lot of people feel, which immediately made me feel better. And I'd heard before, like, people had prepared me, like, you may feel almost like romantically in love with your child because it's like the same chemicals, like oxytocin kind of things. And I was like, yeah. So I was prepared for that. And I'd heard other things like, you may want to eat your child. If you heard this, it's this thing about like,
is that why the Scientologists eat the placenta?
Is that, that's not just a Scientology thing. That's for, it's
right,
about
no, that's not
postpartum depression or something. It's about hormones. But no, it's like, that's more of a thing about when something is so cute, you want to like eat it because people are like, oh, they're so cute. I want to eat it up. But there is some sort of science behind it or whatever. And I'd also heard that you may want to lick your child, like lick them on the head.
Oh, I understand that 100%. I'm sure I licked him.
Could you talk about that? Because I didn't ever have
How would you not like, well, it was probably more kissing.
But yeah.
Like the feet and stuff. Oh, and the belly.
Yeah.
I'm sure I licked his head. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I kiss him all the time. And I try to be big on consent. So if he's squirmy and he doesn't want larves, I let him run around.
Smart.
But yeah, I just want to eat him right up. So anyway,
So you're a pedophilic cannibal.
Yes, I'm a pedophilic cannibal. Cool. And so, and my therapist was like, that's okay, because it's California. So we're encouraged to be pedophilic cannibals. So
that's nothing. That's tame for that.
Yeah, that's some. There's some parties in Hollywood that are just make that look like, you know. So anyway, so we then talked about intimacy and how most people have never had intimacy with anyone the way that they have with their child, except for a romantic partner or a sexual partner. And I mean like physical intimacy. And maybe I shouldn't say most people, but maybe if you're just not used to it, like we, my family growing up, we're not especially physically affectionate. Like I joke that I was raised Protestant and my husband was raised Catholic, that I never wanted to be touched. And he was like super touchy-feely all the time. but like it took me a while to get comfortable with how affectionate he was physically. So then when I had a kid, I just didn't know how to feel about him. And there's all kinds of weird emotions, like when they're first born, you're like, how do I feel about this stranger that I just met? Uh-huh. It's like you went out to a bar and you picked somebody up and you brought them home and you're gonna live with them now, like for the rest of your life, you know. But then
does being adopted play into that too?
Oh yeah, I think so. That's a whole other can of worms. It's funny because I forget that not everyone is adopted. And like my husband was talking about his sister and how she's related to our son. And I was like, well, but not like really related. And I was like, oh, no, wait, actually she is. Like they're actually related by blood, because I always was thinking like my son is not blood related to my parents because I'm adopted, but he's not. So it's just this weird sort of messy thing in my brain.
Right.
So anyway, it's all a jumble in there, and I'm just sort of starting to unpack this now. And where I'm at now is having this conversation with my therapist made me feel so much better. And these are always the sorts of things that I am so glad that I brought up once I did, but I could go through like three sessions and it'll go in the back of my head, like, maybe I should bring this up. And then another voice is like, no, that's gross. Don't say that. She'll think you're gross. Whereas I'm sure that she's just sitting there going, this patient is so boring. When are they going to start talking about cannibalistic pedophilia? I need something to work with here.
Give me something. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
that makes a lot more sense, because this is what part of why it was so frustrating was I never understood what exactly the way you framed it was, just that like this is something that I worry people, a problem people might have with it,
mm-hmm.
which just seemed so abstract. And also, you know me, I'm like who gives a shit what people may or may not think or even do think, you know?
Yeah.
So it's nice to hear that there's at least some mental illness behind it.
There's always some mental illness.
It always goes back to the mental illness. So, I mean, you know, it's fine. I mean, I can put a warning up. I don't like doing that just because I don't like qualify. It feels like I'm qualifying. It feels like what I have to say is in any way a problem or in any way something that people need to be protected from.
I get that.
I don't think it is. And mm-hmm. also, it's funny, we just had an experience last night or yesterday with my mom here. I'm going to get quiet because I don't know if they're still awake.
Mm-hmm.
But we were, I'd been trying to get her to watch Happiest Season, which I don't know if you've seen or if you listened to our episode about. It's that lesbian holiday homecoming movie.
Is it homecoming? Is it the one with David Rose? Bronk. That's
yeah,
me.
Wait, yeah. Is that the Schitt's Creek guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Dan
Levy. One of my favorite humans in the world whose name I suddenly can't think of.
Yeah. He's great. And, and Kristen Stewart.
Mm-hmm.
I watched it as well. And so I had recommended it to my mom because it's super innocuous.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cheesy Christmas movie. Mm-hmm. And I had recommended it a couple times. And I knew she had never, I had a feeling she hadn't watched it because I figured she would have told me she had.
Mm-hmm.
So then to kind of push the issue, I brought it up with Zanz yesterday. I just told him I had started watching it again for the like sixth or seventh time. And so she said that she had just decided not to watch. Well, first she said that she was really enjoying Red Notice, that like horrible looking new like Netflix movie with Ryan Reynolds, Gal Gadot, and Dwayne Johnson, you know?
Yeah.
Just like clearly the most soulless, just ugly, horrible shit ever made, you know?
You know, Ryan Reynolds is bisexual. So,
we're not going down that road again.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
She had been talking about it earlier, and then when Happiest Season came up, she said, you know, I decided not to watch it. You know, I'm old-fashioned. I just can't get used to seeing girls kiss girls or boys kiss boys. And so I very calmly, I wasn't angry. I told her I wasn't, but I told her that it was important that she understood how things like that hurt me and probably Xander. I didn't want to speak for him, but he was sitting right there. And he immediately got uncomfortable and stood up and started like cleaning up the dishes, which he never does like without having to be told. So he was clearly
you knew that there was trouble
never that
when he started doing chores.
Yeah. But so, you know, so I explained very calmly how, you know, how hurtful that is to say, because it implies that we are only being welcomed or tolerated as long as, you know, we don't actually, as long as we're not actually being, you know, gay or queer or anything like that. You know, she was like, oh, you know, I didn't mean it that way. You know, she tried to almost even turn it into make it seem like it was something that I was hearing, but she wasn't saying. I was like, no, that's not really the case. And she said, well, sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. And I said, you didn't offend me. You hurt me, which is different than, you know, and I said, you know, if you want, I told her she could talk to my sister. If she's interested in learning more about why that's not a good thing to say and all of that. But it was, you know, brought up a lot of emotions and stuff. It really just kind of floored me, like how much work she still has to do. Like you know, because we never talk about these things, I guess I had assumed that she was maybe further along, but to be saying just such, you know, just like such basic, unthinking, homophobic bullshit was really shocking to hear.
Not realizing how homophobic it was.
Yeah. Not realize in any way. Yeah, how horrible, what a horrible thing that is to say to your recently out child.
Yeah.
Who the last time you had talked about these things was 25 years ago.
You know. Yeah.
Anyway, so the point is, again, this is another instance where in my own home, I'm once again being told, you know, don't ask, don't tell.
Right.
You know, it's fine as long as don't rub my face in it or anything. Well, that doesn't affect me as much as it used to, but it's still there.
Well, I would want the same disclaimer if we were talking about quote unquote straight sex or something. Like if I had some podcast where I was just like talking with girlfriends about sucking dick or something, you know, I don't know if that changes anything. But I guess,
what does such a disclaimer look like for you?
It would just be like, just so you know, this is explicit AF or something like that, but not that. That's cheesy.
Because it's always marked as explicit.
Every podcast is marked as explicit. Unless it's a podcast for kids, it has the E, you know? So everything is Yeah. Because there isn't any, I guess I just wanted to have like a rating. Like this would be like the L word or something on HBO or Cinemax. It's not like late night on CBS or something. That's all.
Right. But see, then that just gets into like, I find everything about the rating system so reactionary and
yeah,
and horrible. Like there's just so many issues that, you know, we don't need to get into the, all of the whys and the wherefores about this.
Well, I think that
we, to be honest, we don't even need to solve it right now.
Yeah. I was going to say we've bit into a lot today. You've given me some things to think about. I feel like I've showed a little bit more of myself that maybe you didn't know was there. Now you can judge me for being a pedophile. Oh, and for the record, yes, my I have not had fantasies about my son. Like, in case people are thinking that's why I thought I might be. And my therapist did not explicitly ask that either. But I said, you know, I told her that, but that I was worried that I would be or something. And she was like, the fact that you're worried that you might means that you're not or something. I don't know. But, but see there, I felt like I needed to also like explain that to people because I'm afraid of what they would think. And I think that you are much, much further along the road of not giving a shit what people think. And I am just beginning to go down that road. And I think it will be an interesting step for me to come out publicly on social media. I'm hoping that that tears away another layer. But I'm also hoping that doing this podcast together will help me become more comfortable being myself. And I am sorry that me being uncomfortable with myself, like, flopped over into me being uncomfortable with you, because that's not fair to you. And I am sorry that it made you feel somehow not allowed to be, because that's not what I feel at all.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
I'm sorry if I offended you.
Shannon, you didn't offend me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry you feel that way.
I'm sorry you feel like I hurt you.
Yeah.
No, that, yeah, that, and that's fine. I appreciate it. I'm glad we finally talked about it because now I can move on with my life.
Mm-hmm.
But even though it's not necessarily solved, like,
mm-hmm, yeah,
I think there, it's at least a step in there. It's moving forward, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, fuck them. Who cares? Literally, who cares, yeah, what anyone says? But, you know, we all do. At some point and in,
right,
different ways. It's easy to say, who cares? But,
well, I mean, I am a stand-up comedian, which means I am just a bottomless pit of need and and
self-hatred
and praise seeking, etc.
Yeah.
So if you listened all the way to the end of this podcast, please tell me that you like me.
Or tell her she's a piece of shit. Either way, you're
gonna get either an way, reaction. It'll be the secret word that lets me know you listened to the whole episode. I love you. You're a piece of shit.
Brilliant. This has been another House of Barbarism podcast, written, recorded, edited, and produced by Document of Barbarism, your friendly neighborhood mountain man fairy princess. Remember, there is no document of civilization which is not, at the same time, a documenta barbarism. Mwah.